municipal broadband. Last week, with very little fanfare, the city of Seattle pulled the plug on a 10-year effort to build a citywide broadband network. Seattle joins a list of cities that have tried and failed to create municipal broadband services. So what happened? Joining us to talk about municipal efforts to create broadband is Christopher Mitchell. He's a community broadband expert at the Institute for Local Self-Reliance. Hello, Christopher Mitchell.
Hello, thank you for having me on.
Well, thanks for joining us. Seattle is arguably one of the most tech-savvy cities in the country, so why would the broadband efforts here fail?
It's a good question. I think the best answer is that it's a very hard thing to do. The telecom market is a very difficult place to run a business, regardless of who you are. And so the communities we've seen that have succeeded at it have been ones in which there's a unique combination of willingness from the mayor, the city council, and residents and local businesses that are really pushing for it. I don't think we really saw that totally emerge in Seattle.
The city had managed to create a couple of very localized Wi-Fi hotspots. Why is widespread broadband harder than building Wi-Fi?
Well, Wi-Fi is really great at building a wireless network in your home. And interestingly, the same reasons that it's good for that are the same reasons it's bad for on a citywide basis, which is basically that my network doesn't interfere with your network because the signal doesn't travel very far.
Mm-hmm.
And so to try and make a citywide network work with that technology, it didn't really work out the way that a lot of people were really hoping it would in the 2004 and 2005 period. Basically, the problem is one of spectrum, which is discussed at a lot of different levels. Wi-Fi uses this spectrum, which is licensed by the FCC such that anyone can use it. And it's just crowded, and there's not a whole lot of it.
Well, how much has interference from telephone and cable players hampered efforts at the municipal level to really create viable broadband?
Pretty significantly. And so this is something where it gets a little bit more complicated, and we start talking about different technologies. So a lot of the cities that have seen a lot of success are using fiber optic technology, which is something that Seattle has also invested in.
Mm-hmm.
And so the big companies, you know, CenturyLink and Comcast in Seattle, probably aren't worried about Wi-Fi networks at this point because of the limitations that we've discussed. But they are worried about fiber optic networks, which are the next generation technology. It's what Verizon uses in its Fios network, for instance, which is available in some of the areas around Seattle. And so to stop those networks, a lot of these companies have gone to state legislatures, and they've pushed bills that would limit the authority of local communities to build them. And then they also work by lobbying city council members and mayors, and also by sending out glossy mailers, for instance, if Seattle had actually embarked on a path to build a network that would have gone head-to-head with a Comcast or a CenturyLink. They would have expected to see a lot of opposition from the existing carriers.
I know that Washington State is not one of the states that actually passed a law prohibiting cities from providing their own broadband networks, but I'm kind of shocked that other states have actually enacted this kind of legislation because it seems totally counterintuitive to the public good.
Well, I would obviously agree. In 1996, we actually had the passage of the 1996 Telecommunications Act. And in that, the idea was that we should have a lot of competition and that anyone should be able to build their own networks. And in 2004, the Supreme Court decided that the legislation was not sufficiently clear, that states were not allowed to block cities. And so since the last 8 years, we've seen basically freedom for states to pass laws that make it harder for cities to build their own networks. Now, in rural areas in Washington State, state law does make it harder for the public utility districts to build some kinds of networks which would compete with the private companies. And that's something that's been an issue year after year for maybe the last 4 or 5 years.
We're talking with Christopher Mitchell. He's with the Institute for Local Self-Reliance, and he's an expert on community broadband and efforts across the country. And I know that your organization, you have just written a report that talks about three municipalities, Chattanooga, Tennessee, Lafayette, Louisiana, and the third is a municipality in Virginia that I'm forgetting the name of. which I've never heard of, all three of which have successfully created their own broadband network. So what did they have that Seattle didn't?
Well, interestingly, they actually had the most important thing that Seattle does have, which is a municipal electric utility. Of the about 150 cities that have built citywide networks that offer their own internet access as well as often telephone and cable television, almost all of those cities have municipal electric utilities. And so Seattle had that going for it. With that comes a sense of that the city can run a critical utility and have a good relationship with its customers. But the thing that they had that Seattle didn't have was a sense that the community needed to do it. And so Chattanooga and Lafayette in particular really moved forward out of a sense that if they didn't build this network, they'd be left behind by the digital economy. And Bristol, Virginia was one of the first in the entire country to do it, and they've just seen a tremendous amount of advantages. They actually haven't seen their phone or broadband bills raised since 2003 when the service launched. It's a variety of factors, but the main thing is that they were willing to take a risk, and they were willing to work very hard to compete with, in the case of Chattanooga at least, Comcast. So it's not like they're going up against smaller companies. I think the main thing that Seattle lacked was a vision on the city council, because I followed Mayor Mike McGinn's campaign, and I was very excited thinking that he would lead his winning the election would lead to some sort of community network expansion in Seattle, but we really haven't seen that.
Well, you mentioned that at least one of the cities had to contend, I think Chattanooga, with Comcast. How much cheaper is broadband if it's provided by a municipality than it is by a company like Comcast?
It varies from place to place. We've seen a lot of reports in Tacoma, Washington, for instance, where people pay less than what one pays in Seattle for the same services from Comcast because of the competition from the city utility, which they call CLIC there. And so it really varies. But in the case of Tacoma, I believe the general rule is that the Comcast customers are often paying just the price of the promo package. And so even after 6 months or a year, you continue paying that price, because they don't want to see you go to the neighboring utility. In other places, we've seen really low rates, as low as $60 a month for all the video packages, like every single channel, and the highest broadband package, because that's what happens in a competitive environment. Hmm. We see more investment, and we see prices drop.
Well, I can see that the advantage would be perhaps a cheaper provider if a municipality is providing the service. But if people already have access to broadband through a company like CenturyLink or Comcast or whoever is serving your community, then everybody does have potential access to broadband, right? And isn't that what you're looking for at Institute for Local Self-Reliance?
We want everyone to have fast, affordable, and reliable access. So there's sort of four metrics. One is universal availability, and then the others are fast, affordable, and reliable. And the cable and DSL networks aren't delivering on either one of those three, we would argue. I mean, you might be surprised to find that Seattle doesn't have anywhere close to the best broadband that's available in the state of Washington. Fios and some of the surrounding areas is considerably better than anything Comcast or CenturyLink offers. Now, Comcast is definitely better than what CenturyLink offers. And so what we're afraid of is moving into the future is that really for people who care about fast speeds, they're only going to have one choice, and that's going to be the cable choice. And so the future without public investments, we believe, will be one of less competition and less choices. And that's simply because CenturyLink doesn't have the capacity to really invest and compete with Comcast by our analysis.
But on the other hand, the city of Seattle, many cities of Seattle officials don't have the will to go up against a Comcast or a CenturyLink, is what you're saying as well, right?
That's right. And in fact, where we've seen almost all these networks is in communities of less than 50,000 people, with maybe less than 10 in communities of more than 100,000. And the reason for that is I think people in smaller communities have more of a sense that their priorities are not being met by the private companies. And so, because they're a smaller community, they're willing to trust their local leaders when it comes to bonding for a lot of money to build the network that's going to be competitive, especially when it's going to take probably one or two election cycles before it's clear if the network has succeeded.
And that would be true as well. I believe, is it North Dakota that built a statewide network?
Well, it's not statewide. It's the largest sort of advanced fiber-to-the-home network in the world. It's 10,000 square miles. But it is an incredible network in North Dakota, yes.
And is that because there aren't other sort of money-making interests that are interested in a state with sparse population?
Yeah, that's a large part of it. The first people to develop the telephone networks in North Dakota were co-ops because private companies were not interested. And cooperatives operating out of a non-profit business model have been able to invest in next-generation networks, whereas private companies like Comcast and AT&T, they're more likely to take their position in the market and try to increase their dividends to shareholders or otherwise boost their profits rather than investing in the next generation technology.
So conceivably, a North Dakota resident living within that 10,000 square mile fiber optic network gets better broadband service than I do in Seattle.
Oh, absolutely. It's probably more reliable, it's faster, and they're almost certainly paying less for it. Now, there is a subsidy issue for rural areas that complicates the matter. But in general, we see in rural areas nonprofit business models being much more successful than for-profit business models that are receiving those same rural subsidies. And so it's not an apple-to-apple comparison of Seattle to North Dakota. But the fact is that these networks are very expensive. And they're a long-term investment that we believe is better suited to a nonprofit business model, whether cooperative or public ownership, than it is to a private business model.
Hmm. Well, what would you say to supporters of municipal broadband in Seattle that feel let down by the city's decision to let it all, actually they're going to auction off their $50 million of fiber optic investment here. But what would you say to people who wish the city had persevered?
Well, I think you have to organize. You have to demonstrate that there's a need, that CenturyLink and Comcast are not meeting the need, and that there are a lot of people that would be willing to support the city and elected officials that would speak out in support of it. So it takes the form of a grassroots movement. Our paper that you referenced deals with this in Lafayette, Louisiana, which had the most amazing grassroots movement we've seen in community broadband in the nation. And so people can certainly look me up on the internet. I'm easy enough to find. And if they want some tips, I'd be happy to give them to them on a one-on-one basis and connect them to others that have been successful in this.
Christopher, thanks for taking time to talk with us.
Sure. Thank you very much.
Christopher Mitchell is a community broadband expert at the Institute for Local Self-Reliance. And as he just mentioned, he's just authored a paper about how three communities, Bristol, Virginia, Lafayette, Louisiana, and Chattanooga, Tennessee, have been able to build municipal broadband networks. This is Weekday on KUOW.